Welcome to Cosmetology School Accounting, a mini podcast series where we dive into key financial topics for cosmetology schools in just a few minutes. This mini cast is designed to give you valuable insight in a quick, easily digestible format, perfect for the busy professional. So sit back and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Cosmetology School Accounting Podcast. I'm your host, Desiree Anderson, and today we're going to be diving into an important topic that's often a source of stress and confusion for many cosmetology schools, and not just cosmetology schools, business owners as a whole. Tax season. Okay, so preparing for tax season can feel really overwhelming, but with the right approach and a clear understanding of what your responsibilities are, you can actually navigate this time smoothly and avoid costly mistakes. So whether you are new to managing your school's finances or you're a seasoned professional, this episode is going to be packed with essential insights to help you get ready for your tax filings. So grab a notebook and let's get started. Okay, so we are going to be covering four main areas, okay, which include why being ready matters, okay? We're going to talk about the key considerations that you must keep in mind before filing. We'll be discussing avoiding common pitfalls. And then finally, I'm going to give you some tips and resources that are very helpful. All right, so let's start out with number one, which is why is it necessary for you to be prepared, okay? So it's important for cosmetology schools to be prepared because as educational institutions, right, your school likely has unique income and expense structures. You're dealing with tuition revenue that's usually paid in installment. You're dealing with instructor salaries, equipment purchases, student kits and books. And potentially, if you are accredited, you're even going to be dealing with federal fundings or grants. Okay, so accurate record keeping and proper categorization for these items are critical, not just for filing taxes, but also for staying audit ready and ensuring compliance with accreditation requirements. Because if you are an accredited school, you know you're required to have an audit every year. So you want to make sure that you are always audit ready and that you're not trying to get ready at the end of the year or when it's time for an audit, because that just takes up so much time and can delay things. So think about it this way. Tax season isn't just about filing forms, okay? It's also a health check for your business. If your records are disorganized, you might miss out on deductions, or even worse, you're going to misreport income, which can trigger penalties on the IRS's side. So remember, the goal isn't just to file your taxes, it's to do so in a way that reflects the financial health of your school while taking advantage of all of the deductions and credits that are available to you. Okay, so number two, let's talk about key considerations before filing, right? So this is the heart of the episode, and that is, what are the things that you should consider before you file your taxes? I've broken these considerations down into five essential steps. So let's start with number one. Number one is organize your financial records. So before you even think about filing, you want to make sure that all of your financial records are in order. This is going to include tuition payments, operation expenses, payroll, and purchases of equipment or supplies. So if you use an accounting software like QuickBooks, you want to also make sure that you review your profit and loss statement and your balance sheet for accuracy. You want to make sure that things are accurate and are being reported fairly. It's especially important to separate personal and business expenses. So let's talk about that for a second. If you are commingling funds and you are using your business account for personal purchases, stop it right now. Don't do it. It's not a good thing for several reasons, especially if you are a LLC. It's not good because it can affect the ability. In other words, some of the reasons for becoming an LLC is so that you can protect certain assets, right? So the minute you start using, you start intermingling personal and business, you are doing something that is called piercing the corporate veil, which means any sort of protection you may have had disappears because you are now commingling funds. Now, keep in mind, I am not an attorney. So this is an area that you absolutely want to discuss with your attorney, okay? But I do know that commingling funds, when it comes to personal and business, when you are set up as a certain structure type, can be detrimental and it can affect your any type of protection that you think you have, okay? Now, talking about personal funds, if you use personal funds, let's say to cover school expenses, that is okay, right? So let's say you use the personal funds from your personal account to cover school expenses, that's okay. But what's important is that it should be reported or recorded properly, because I have seen where people have used personal funds to purchase school supplies and they have not been properly recorded. So you want to make sure that when such a thing happens, that you are recording the personal funds that you used to purchase supplies or to cover school expenses. You want to record that as a contribution from you to the school, in addition to recording that transaction as an expense. Okay, so that's really important. Number two is to identify eligible deductions. Okay, so number two of consideration, things to consider before filing, is identifying eligible deductions. There are several deductions that cosmetology schools might qualify for. For example, educational supplies, any materials provided to students such as textbooks, kits, they can all be deducted and they're part of your educational supplies. Facility costs, this includes rent, utilities, maintenance for your school's physical location. Also, professional development costs. So if you or your staff attend industry conferences or trainings, those expenses are also deductible. Even if you paid for those expenses out of your personal funds, but if it's for the purpose of professional development for the school, it's also deductible. So it can also be recorded in your books as an expense. Okay. So now I definitely advise you to work with a tax professional to ensure that you don't miss any deductions that are specific to your business model. Okay. So number three, the third thing to consider before filing is reviewing payroll and contractor payments. If your school employs instructors or contracts independent educators, you need to make sure that all payroll and contractor payments are properly documented. For employees, this means issuing W-2s, and for independent contractors, you'll need to file and send out 1099 NECs if you pay them $600 or more during the year. Payroll taxes can be particularly tricky, so double checking that all quarterly payments have been made and reconciled and that all payroll returns for all four quarters have been filed is important. And that also includes your 940s. We want to make sure that your 940s have also been filed, which is also part of payroll taxes, but they're required to be filed at the end of the year. Also, some states require businesses to file state payroll returns. So you want to check with your state to make sure that you are in compliance. Okay, number four, handling depreciation and assets. If your school invests in equipment like salon chairs, salon bowls, computers for administrative tasks, or even if you own the building that the school is located in, these are considered fixed assets and they need to be depreciated over time. So you want to make sure that your depreciation schedule is up to date. If you've purchased new equipment this year, it may qualify for something called the Section 179 expensing, which allows you to deduct the entire cost in the year it was purchased instead of spreading it out over several years. Now, this could be a good thing in terms of reducing your tax liability for the tax year, especially if you had a high income year. Or on the other hand, you may want to skip the 179 expense option so that you can take advantage of depreciation expense in future years, which will reduce your tax liability in those years. When it comes to fixed assets and depreciation, it's imperative that you get the help of a certified public accountant, because this area of accounting can be very challenging. So whoever is working on this area needs to fully understand how fixed assets and depreciation are handled, both by the IRS and for gap accounting if your school is accredited or seeking accreditation. Okay, the fifth thing to consider when you are, or rather before filing, is deferred revenue. This is a really important piece for schools, especially if you collect tuition from your students on a payment plan. So for schools that operate on a tuition model, you may need to account for something that's called deferred revenue. If you've collected tuition for a program that runs into the next year, or part of that income may need to be deferred and reported in the following tax year. This is a critical consideration, as improper reporting can lead to errors in your financial statements. So why is deferred revenue a critical area for taxes and accounting as it relates to cosmetology schools? Okay, so look at it from the IRS's perspective. Deferred revenue is definitely scrutinized by the IRS, and it can trigger attention during an IRS audit. So let's say, God forbid, you're undergoing some sort of IRS examination. Deferred revenue can trigger attention, and that's because it directly impacts taxable income. So if you're a school that misclassifies or you fail to track deferred revenue, you might face huge penalties by the IRS. Okay, so how does deferred revenue impact cash flow management? So mismanaging deferred revenue could lead you to think that the school has more disposable income than it actually does. So it's important to recognize that the cash you've received upfront is tied to future obligations. So therefore, it is a liability to the school and not yet income until the school's obligation has been fulfilled. And what is the school's obligation? The school's obligation is classroom time, clock hours. So until those hours for that student or those students have been fulfilled, the income that you've already collected should not and cannot be touched, nor should it be recorded as income in your books. It should be on the balance sheet as a liability, showing that you owe, that if you do not provide these clock hours for the student, that you now have to give them their money back, okay? So that's why it's important to make sure that you properly classify deferred income. Another thing is tuition revenue management. Okay, so cosmetology schools often operate on a really tight budget. So therefore, deferred revenue helps administrators to track what portion of collected tuition is available for current operations versus what must be reserved for future use. All right, so number three. So now that we've covered the essentials, let's talk about some of the common pitfalls that can trip up cosmetology schools during tax season. One is misclassification of workers. One of the biggest mistakes that schools make is misclassifying employees as independent contractors, or even sometimes vice versa. So the IRS takes this very, very seriously. So make sure that you are clear on the distinction between a W-2 employee and a contractor. And this definitely is a whole podcast by itself, because we don't have enough time to even get into that. So that's a podcast that I will probably have at some other time. Number two is missing deadlines. Tax deadlines can definitely creep up on you really quickly. So you want to ensure that you know when your federal and tax filings are due. If you are an S corporation or an LLC or even a C corporation, your deadline may differ, right? And then also, you want to make sure that you don't forget about quarterly estimated tax payments if they apply to your school and if they apply to you personally based upon your school's business entity structure. So if you are a C corporation, for example, you're going to be paying estimated taxes for the corporation. If you are an S corporation or an LLC, you still have to pay quarterly estimated taxes, but instead you're going to be paying it on your personal 1040, which means that as an S corporation or as an LLC, The business itself does not pay taxes on its tax return. The income and the expenses pass through to the individual, and that is the reason why the estimated taxes under those circumstances have to be paid by the individual. All right, so number three is ignoring state-specific requirements. Many cosmetology schools are subject to state-specific tax rules, including sales tax on student kits or sales tax on services and products offered to the public, including when and how to refund tuition to dropped students. So you want to make sure that you are familiar with the tax laws in your state to avoid penalties. Another one is overlooking tax planning opportunities. So tax season is not just about compliance. It's also an opportunity for planning. You want to meet with your accountant to discuss strategies for the upcoming year, such as retirement plan contributions, equipment purchases, or restructuring your business for better tax efficiency. Finally, let's talk about some tips and some resources. So before we wrap up, here are a few final tips to keep in mind. Number one, you want to make sure that you are leveraging professional help. Tax laws are complex and they are constantly changing, especially now that we have a new incoming administration. You can be sure that there are going to be some tax changes. And some of you may know that the tax laws implemented during the first Trump administration are due to sunset at the end of 2025. So what does this mean? This means that tax laws are going to revert back to what they were pre-2018, which is going to have a huge effect on both business and personal tax obligations. So working with a CPA or a tax professional who understands the beauty industry can really save you time and money in the long run. You want to always stay audit ready. Even if you're not being audited, you want to maintain detailed records of income, expenses, and supporting documentations for deduction. So when I say audit ready, I'm talking about two types of audits. We have your IRS audit, and you also have your financial audit. The IRS audit is something that occurs when the IRS decides that they want to come in and examine your books for whatever reason. That's never usually a good thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to wind up with penalties, because if you're maintaining your records, your income and your expenses, and you have supporting documentation for those deductions, then you have nothing to worry about. It's going to be an audit. They'll come in and there'll be no change. And then there is the financial audit that is required for schools who are accredited or who are looking to become accredited. Those types of audits, or rather, this type of audit is a financial audit that is required to be done by an independent CPA. And this is a different type of audit that examines the financial health of your business. Okay. All right. Number six is plan for the future. Tax season is an annual reminder to evaluate your school's financial health. Use it as an opportunity to set financial goals and improve your systems for the upcoming year. Okay. So for those of you looking for additional resources, I recommend checking out the IRS Small Business and Self-Employed Tax Center. It's a great starting point for understanding tax obligations specific to your business structure. You can also reach out to industry-specific CPAs like myself for tailored guidance. All right, and that's it for today's episode of Cosmetology School Accounting Podcast. I hope you found this discussion on preparing for tax season helpful. Remember that the key to a stress-free tax season is preparation, attention to detail, and leveraging professional advice when needed. So if you have any questions about today's topic or you want to learn more about how I can help your school, feel free to reach out to me directly. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, and share this with other cosmetology school owners who might benefit. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, stay focused, stay organized, and keep building your school's success. Have a great day. Thank you for tuning in to Cosmetology School Accounting. We hope today's insight helped you navigate your financial journey with confidence. If you found value in this episode, please share it with your colleagues and leave us a review. For more resources and updates, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Profit and Beauty. And visit our website at AndersonAccounting3.com. You can find all these links in the show notes. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll explore more topics tailored to the accounting needs of cosmetology schools. Until then, keep thriving in your financial endeavors.